You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Earlier today, I spoke with Associate Professor Rebecca Campbell of the University of Otago. Rebecca and her team are at the forefront of some very exciting findings related to polycystic ovary syndrome research. Her team has found promising results in a preclinical setting, which could bolster research in new directions. I started off by asking Rebecca how widespread of a syndrome PCOS is and what it means for New Zealanders.
So PCOS affects 1 in 10 women currently. It's a really broad spectrum disorder, and it presents in a variety of different ways. But right now, it's the most common endocrine disorder that's seen in the clinic, and it's the most common form of an ovulatory female infertility, which means a form of infertility where women are not ovulating.
How does this present itself to the individual who will be going through the syndrome?
So women with PCOS often have hyperandrogenism, which means that they have a higher level of circulating hormones that are generally in the testosterone family. So these are typically male hormones that are very low in women. And women often have impaired cycles, so they're not ovulating normally. And women also can present with a metabolic phenotype, which means that they can deal with issues of high insulin and obesity.
And what age does the syndrome normally present itself? Because I believe part of your research was studying whether this happens through the brain or in the ovaries first, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So in women, PCOS is generally developing just around pubertal development. So prior to that, it's really an unknown syndrome. But with pubertal development, often girls will have erratic periods and show signs of high androgens. So that's when the syndrome is thought to begin. However, the work that we're doing is suggesting that in some forms of PCOS, there are changes in brain wiring that precede the onset of the PCOS-like syndrome. So we think that these changes in the brain are actually leading to the onset of the disorder when puberty begins.
Through your research, it's been conducted in a preclinical trial. Mm-hmm. Are you able to give our listeners a bit of context as to the differences between preclinical and clinical, just before we dive into it a bit deeper?
Yeah, absolutely. So we work in a preclinical model, which means that we're modeling the PCOS syndrome in a rodent model. So we use mice, which allows us to study their hypothalamus, which is the area of the brain that controls reproductive function and controls what's happening at the ovary. And the hypothalamus is really conserved across mammalian species, and so we can make inferences about what we learn in the mouse hypothalamus with what is going on in a woman's hypothalamus.
And the research is indicating that through potentially rewiring of the brain, you could reverse the effects of polycystic ovary syndrome. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so one of the things we were really excited about was that even though we saw that these brain wiring changes were present early, so prior to disease onset, we found that with drug treatment, these brain changes could be reversed so that the brain looked like a normal, fertile, healthy brain. And this is associated with a resumption of normal cycles in our animals. So generally, when brain changes are programmed or wired early, it suggests that these changes are hardwired and not modified in adulthood. But we found that there was a plastic change or a reversal in this circuitry back to something that looks quite normal, and that this involved this restoration of normal cycles, which is suggestive of completely restored fertility.
1 in 10 women worldwide who do suffer from PCOS. Mm-hmm. At the moment, fertility is something that's out of reach entirely?
So fertility is often associated with PCOS, not entirely. And there are reproductive technologies that are helping a lot of women with PCOS. But what we are hoping to achieve is a way in which the fertility access can be restored. And so what our research is showing is it's giving us some hope that there are ways to restore a normal regulation of the ovary so that a woman might be treated for a period of time and then be able to come off that treatment and conceive naturally.
So moving forward with the research, what's the next stage from here, and how will your indications and your findings affect the way the research moves from here?
Yeah, so this really opens up a whole new avenue for us to understand the impact of androgen signaling in the brain and the specific circuits that it's modifying. And we have a whole host of different experiments that we want to do to understand the critical windows of modifying androgen actions in the brain and how that impacts fertility. And we've also got some work in collaboration with a Swedish group to look at the impact of androgen receptor blockade on long-term fertility outcomes. So we are initially looking retrospectively at patient register data to see if there are links between androgen receptor blockade and successful fertility outcomes. And then this will give us some more clues about the utility of these types of treatments in the clinic.
You guys are obviously working with clinicians in Sweden, but I was wondering, across the world, is there a sort of a healthy line of communication between universities and between states trying to work together on this? Or is this sort of more smaller pockets of the scientific community sort of reaching out to each other as they can?
I don't think there's enough emphasis on this area of research, but there are lots of really good pockets of research all over the world. And we do occasionally get together and talk to one another. There is an Androgen Excess PCOS Society that meets every year that I'll be speaking at later on this year. But really, I think there needs to be greater attention on this syndrome and its impact on female health.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.